Welcome to the Abbot Lou Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
I'd like to ask Pastor Mark Drake to come on up, please, and introduce him real quickly.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good to see all of you. I'm so glad that you made it out on this icy morning. It's great. Not too long ago, we had one of the younger grandsons' birthday, and so we bought him Legos. You know, Legos is one of the most successful toys in the whole world, and it's undergone a great revolution. When I was a kid, Legos came out. And then they almost died out completely, and then they adapted to the modern generation, and now you can literally build just anything and everything out of Legos. And of course, the only problem with them is that grandparents step on them barefooted, and it's like a knife. But so we come home to visit our grandkids, and I run down to the store to get some pizza. And when I come back, the 7-year-old grandson has built this Lego edifice. I walked up to it. I used to be 5'9". Now the doctor tells me I'm only 5'8". But I don't know where that went, but it did go. But anyway, I'm 5'8", apparently, now. So he built this building, and it was slightly taller than me. I mean, you know, it's like this, and this is unbelievable, and I was maybe gone 30 minutes, and so I said to him, Seth, how in the world did you build something that tall? And this 7-year-old looks at me and says, Grandpa, the secret is the taller you want to make it, the bigger you have to make the bottom row. And like most preachers or teachers, I thought to myself, that'll preach. You know, Jesus said that they who build their life on the right foundation are the ones who stand the test of time. What we want to be and do as a church family is we want to be disciples, and we want to be discipling someone else. Frank's definition is certainly the right one. Making disciples is simply doing what Jesus told his men just before he ascended off the mount back up to the Father's right hand. He said, I want you to go out into the world. I want you to do for others what I have done for you. I want you to teach others just the things I've taught you. And I don't want you to be overly concerned, because the Holy Spirit will teach you while you are teaching others. I don't want you to be overly worried about what you say, because the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say. He will tell you what to say. He will put the words in you if you'll just reach out and teach others. That's all discipleship is. It's one friend helping another friend grow a life that is based on new covenant thinking and grace-based empowered behavior. That's all it is. However, this is the way that Jesus ordained from the beginning for his kingdom to spread throughout all the earth. Now, what I want to do this morning, and then we'll finish it up next Sunday, is I want to start this process of talking about what I'm going to refer to as the 5-point foundation, the 5-point base, because these Legos by themselves are not only worthless, but they kind of look weird. If you've never seen one of these before and you'd look at that, that's kind of weird. But when you start fitting them together where they rest upon a solid base, and the bigger we want to make this, the bigger we have to make this, the better the foundation has to be if we're going to build on it. So I want to be talking about laying the 5-point. Now, you know, we teachers, we love numbers and outlines and 3 points, 5 points, all that stuff. And I wish I could have made them all start with the same letter of the alphabet, because that's when you know you're a really, really good teacher, when you can do that. but I didn't do that. But to make disciples, we want to help. And that's all we're doing. Jesus is the one who sanctifies, changes, builds. But we want to help. That's our calling in God, is to help others lay a better foundation in their lives. Now, why? Why the foundation? Because the winds of trial will blow. There's no if or maybe about that. Jesus, when he told the parable about the man who built his house on a rock or a man who built his house on the sand, said, and when the winds blow, not if they blow or maybe they'll blow, or if you have enough faith, they won't blow. But if you're weak in faith, then they really, really blow. He didn't say any of that. We modern charismatics talk that way and get all messed up in our thinking. But Jesus didn't talk that way. Neither did the apostles. They said tribulation will come, period. Trials will come. Trouble will come. That's just the reality of life. But God uses all of those things. He doesn't author all those things, but he uses all of those things. However, those things, those adverse winds, those difficult circumstances will most assuredly knock us off of our foundation unless the foundation is right and laid securely in our lives. There are things that we must believe if we are going to grow, be fruitful, succeed, and experience the abundant life that Jesus has. Now, I'm going to give you these five now. We're going to talk about a couple of them today, then we'll come back to it next week. When Hannah saw that I had about 30 slides, she nearly passed out. And so I said, don't worry, I'm not going to try to cover them all today. But you know what my wife Linda says? That I preach the everlasting gospel. Not referring to the gospel, but referring to how long it takes me to get through it. All right. I sure hope you brought note-taking material, because we are going to cover the Bible from cover to cover. All right, these are the five foundation stones that Linda and I have looked into our life, especially over the past 15 years, that we feel like we've been walking in a very different understanding of the new covenant. These are the five things that we have identified in our own lives that we have come to believe and that we have laid as a foundation of our life, and that we keep on laying, renewing our minds about these five things. Number one, foundation stone. Number one. And let me tell you something. If a new believer will get these stones laid in their lives, I don't care what comes. They will be fruitful and they will be stable and they will grow. Now, I'm just telling you, I'll give you an absolute guarantee on that. But for us to be stable and strong and fruitful, we have to have the right foundation. Number one, I am fully loved by God now. Not someday when I get good at this Christian thing. Because that day in this life ain't never going to happen. I am fully loved by God now. Why? Because he has chosen to love me unconditionally. I live with a foundation stone that tells me day by day that I am loved by God because of his nature, not mine. I am loved by God because he is good. I am not. I am loved by God because God chose to love me. And at the very best, I am simply loving him back. We love him because he first loved us. And we're loving him back. But Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be open, and you can understand how high, how deep, how wide, and how long is the love which God has for you. That's stone number one. Number two, I can live a life pleasing to God. Why? Because he is doing his work. I'm not the worker. I'm the one being worked on and in. I can live a life that's pleasing to God. Number three, I can choose. Oh, I love this. I can choose to never be afraid. Why? Because my Father rules over everything. And we have to understand that. That's got to be a stone that gets laid and relayed in our lives for us to be able to stand the winds of adversity. Number four, I can fulfill my eternal destiny. Why? Because God is determined to complete it in me. I can fulfill my destiny not because I'm so great. I can fulfill my destiny because the great one is living in me and living through me. And the more I cooperate with that, the more I find myself satisfied, filled with peace and joy, not knocked off by the winds of adversity that blow, but bearing good fruit. Not because I'm so awesome. You know, it's easy. You know, it's easy for most of you to really love me. I know that. But that's just because you don't really know me. Now, a guy like Frank or Josh or Brad, now, for them to love me is more of a challenge because they're getting to really know me. And I, you know, I appreciate Pastor Brad, but I'm not nearly as wonderful as he said he says I am. But I, well, anyway, you know, it's, you know, when you're a public speaker, you end up saying things you don't realize you said. Except it's recorded, exactly. Yeah, last 2 weeks ago when I spoke, I was trying to beat the clock, which I'm trying to do again. I'm not going to probably make it, but and I tried to say Ecclesiastes, and I said Ecclesiastesans, and Judah Tanner sitting right there caught me, and I almost couldn't finish because he was laughing at me so hard right in the front row. Stone number five: I am never alone. I am never alone. Why? Because He will never forsake me, but that's not all. But He also surrounds me with His family. All right, get your Bibles out. Get your book open. Get your note-taking material out. We are going to rush now. You ready? But these are the kind of things we have to lay in our lives. Now, this cannot be that we lay this in our life because we think these things are good. The question is this what the Bible teaches? Is this what God has given to us as truth? Does God call these five things truth? And if He does, then the word, the written word, becomes the living word inside of us, becomes a foundation for our lives to which we can then never be shaken. But in order for us to do that, we have to build solidly on the Word of God. Now, here's what we're going to do. I normally don't like to do this too much, but we're going to flash Scripture up on the screen so that we can follow along together. I don't want you to look these up right now, but please write them down. And, of course, the recording will be available later on. Number one, I am fully loved by God now because He has chosen to love me unconditionally. Go to slide three, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31:3, under the old covenant, and I could have picked 200 out of the old covenant, but this is just one. I have loved you with an everlasting love. That word everlasting in the Hebrew simply means with no beginning and no end. God says to Israel, and Jeremiah is prophesying to them because they have rebelled. But God's message is, in your rebellion, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I keep drawing you, or I have drawn you with loving kindness. This is the way God describes how He feels about you and me. I have loved you with an everlasting love. That was under the old covenant. Under the old covenant. Now, why would that be under the old covenant? Because God never changes. God didn't start loving us after Jesus came. God loved us before Jesus ever came. God loved us before we came. God knew us before we knew us. And He loved us and has continued to love us. We know that based on what Jesus said in the famous verse, John 3:16. Listen to these words. We all know them. Part of the problem is we know some of this stuff so well in our heads, it no longer is a life-changing revelation in our heart. Listen to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Now, the world there does not, the Greek word there does not refer to the globe, but it refers to the populace, the people. God so loves people that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Now, listen to these words. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Listen. Burn these next words in your heart and mind, and you will never be shaken with troubling times. There is no judgment awaiting those who trust Him. There is no judgment awaiting those who live a perfect life. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's not it. In fact, that's a lie. That is a lie. That is a lie. You see, the lie of the enemy is when you do good, God's happy. When you do bad, God's ticked. That's a Greek word for anger. Sorry, I need to be sure that I'm clear here in my teaching. He who puts his trust in the Son will not be judged. We have to burn that into our hearts and our minds. And if we will help another new believer lay that foundation stone in their life, if you put your faith in Jesus, God will deal with you as a loving father, always out of love, always for your good, always for your benefit, but he will not judge you, neither now or in the age to come. You and I have already had everything we've ever done wrong and everything we ever will do wrong judged back on the cross in the form of Jesus. He took it all for us. So we do not have to live our lives fearing that every time we lose a job, oh no, God's judging me because I haven't been reading my Bible enough. That's a lie from the devil. Should you read your Bible? Absolutely. Do you have to read your Bible? No, you don't. But if you don't read your Bible, what will happen to your spiritual man is what will happen to your natural man if you stop eating. Do you have to eat food today? No. But if you don't eat, the longer you go without eating, the weaker you're going to be. Is that because God's mad at you? No. It's because you're too dumb to eat. That's not most of my problem, being too dumb to eat. My problem is I enjoy eating way too much. Slide number four, John 16. Now, this is just literally an hour or two before Jesus is arrested and drug off, beaten, and finally crucified. This is while they're sitting around the table. You should know by now when you hear me teach. John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 all take place where? Where do those five chapters all take place? Where? Last Supper, exactly. All those five chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 of John, all those five chapters take place around the table in the upper room, what we call the Last Supper, and on the short walk down the street to the garden where they pray. Sitting around the table, Jesus says this. In that day, he just said that they're going to take me off and kill me, and I'm going to be taken away from your midst. I'm going back to the Father. And then he says, in that day, when I go back to the Father, you will ask in my name. Now listen to these words. Oh, may they be burned into our hearts because of the perverted belief that the enemy spreads in the body of Christ about how to pray. This idea about praying in the name of Jesus, we just fall to the lie of the enemy. Listen to these words. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. Think about those words just for a moment. Jesus just said to his men, guys, I want to get straight with you about something. I am not going to be at the Father's right hand asking him to help you. That's not what I'm going to be doing. What? What? You mean Jesus isn't in heaven convincing the Father to meet my needs and take care of me? No, he's not. Well, then what is he doing? What should I be doing? You should be doing the next verse. What does the next verse say? No, Jesus says, because the Father himself loves you. I'm not going to be asking him. You are. Well, but wait a minute. Won't he listen to you better than me? No. That's what you said? No. Well, why not? Because the Father himself. I love it. I love it. I love it. The Father himself. I love the double emphasis there. The Father himself. Jesus knew that the temptation for those guys was to believe that Jesus loved them, but that the Father whom they can't see is the holy judge and he's mad. Jesus knows that is the battle we face. And Jesus tells us here very clearly, before these men are born again and filled with the Spirit, he says, listen, I'm going back to the Father and you're going to ask in my name, but I'm not going to ask for you because the Father himself loves you. You're going to ask yourself. You're going to ask him yourself and he's going to listen to you just like he would listen to me. Why? Because he loves you just like he loves me. Let's go to this next one. John 17. Now Jesus is in the garden. He's praying. He knows in moments the soldiers are going to come and get him. Take him off into the worst time of trial human being could ever imagine. Knowing that, he begins to pray. We know that he prayed loud enough so that the disciples could hear him praying. Because later on, they wrote down what they heard him pray. So the Father is now, or Jesus is now speaking to the Father, and the disciples, apparently this was one of those windows of time where they were actually awake, because they kept falling asleep, you remember? And they hear him pray these words, "Father, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me." Do you hear those words? Let the Spirit of God make these words come alive right now for you. The Heavenly Father loves you just like He loves Jesus. Do you see that? If you will allow the Spirit of God to burn this into your heart, this foundation stone will hold you when trouble comes. Last week, Josh did an excellent job of sharing about trials and tribulation and having hope in the midst of what is seemingly unanswered prayer. Not wavering, not being blown around. The only way we can do that is if these words burn in our heart. Father, show them that you love them even as you love me. Listen, I want you to take your hand, put it on your chest right here. Come on, sit. Now, I just want you to say along with me, the Father loves me just like He loves Jesus. Come on, the Father loves me just like He loves Jesus. Listen, Linda and I lay this stone in our foundation over and over and over again. When trouble comes and that thought starts, ooh, what did I do wrong? We lay this stone in our lives again. Stop. Time out. Don't go any further. Say it. The Father loves me just like He loves Jesus. The Father loves me. Whatever evil circumstances I'm going to have to face, it is not because God is mad and He's punishing me. That is not what's going on here. Why? Because the Father loves me just like He loves Jesus. I'm laying that stone, relaying that stone, so that when the winds of adversity blow, we do not fall prey to it. Listen to me. You can live what is referred to among charismatics as the overcoming life. Not because you do miracles, though when they happen, it's awesome. But because you lay this stone in your life, that you are loved just like the Father loves Jesus. I want you to stand with me, if you will, please. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as the loving Lord of your life, if you have never surrendered the ownership of your life to Jesus, today, right now, is the absolute best moment for you to do that, because the Father loves you already. Those men were not converted. This was before the death and resurrection, before the ascension, before the Pentecost. These men were where you are right now if you've not yet made Jesus Lord of your life. There's no better time to do that than right now. So as we pray to close here, just go ahead and do that. Believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead and say with your mouth, "I want you now to be the Lord of my life. I know I'm just starting on this journey and I don't know what all that means, but I want you now to be Lord of my life." If you will believe in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead and simply turn over the ownership of your life to Him, He will begin a miracle inside of you. And if He is in you, but you're struggling with the winds of adversity, and you're wondering about why bad things have happened, and you're wondering if God is trying to punish you, I'm here to tell you, according to the Word of God, no, He is not. He will turn all those things for your eternal good if you will continue to live with the foundation so laid in your life. You love me, Father, just like you love your only begotten Son. I am an adopted son or daughter, but your only begotten Son is living in me, and you do truly love me. Father, lay this stone in our lives, and then help us turn around to someone else and help them lay this stone in their life. The revelation, oh God, that you love us with an everlasting love, just like you love your own Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out this week and keep laying this stone in your life. Go over these verses. Lay this stone in your life, my friend. Do this. And for those that are willing and want to do it, we'll see you on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock to talk more about how we're going to do this with the tools to lay this in other people's lives. Y'all have been awesome. Thank you so much. Have a great week ahead. All right. Bless you all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.